I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 18th, 2025, really early in the morning. My eyes popped open at 3 a.m. and stayed that way, so I just got up and absorbed myself for the last couple hours in Carney's book. And then I came back here. It's now 5:18, and I decided I would start filming for the day. Last night, there was the English language leadership debate, and I went live for it. And I think it went well. I don't know if I'll do it that way again, because I like interacting with the audience, and when you're reacting live to something that you're watching, you don't really have much of an opportunity to interact with the audience. So I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But if you want to see me live react to the debate as it was ongoing, there's a good two-hour video. I didn't even finish the debate. I decided to go and put my kids to bed. But I will say that I think Polyev did a commendable job. I think he rooked Carney on a lot of things. Called him out on a lot of the hypocrisy. Called him out on the... It's funny how Carney, in the debate... I mean, I don't need to necessarily splice in footage, because if you've watched the debate, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't watched the debate, you're probably not going to watch it. But the fact is, he, on the one hand, claims that he's only a month into the job of being prime minister. But on the other hand, he stands on the record of the Liberal Party while also trying to deny that he was part of it as the economic advisor to Justin Trudeau. I think Pierre called him out on a lot of things. I also think that there's some type of alliance between the NDP and the Liberal Party, because Jagmeet Singh's only role last night was to be an attack dog against Polyev. Whether you love Polyev or not is irrelevant. Every time Polyev spoke, Singh was talking over him, and the moderator did not intervene except for a couple of occasions. And Polyev maintained his demeanor throughout. And there are people who are going to be upset that he didn't get more visceral. But when you're trying to win an election, and you understand your audience, and you understand who you're trying to appeal to, I think he did a good job for exactly what he's trying to do, which is winning an election. Now, he brought up Brookfield's investments in fossil fuels, huge sums of money, billions and billions of dollars, and none of that money is invested right here at home. And as they talk about net zero and building the energy economy, Pierre Polyev rightly called him out for not being willing to repeal C-69, which effectively bans pipelines. Carney's hypocrisy was on display for the entire world to see. He looked very uncomfortable the entire time. I recommend you just watch the debate. But the thing I want to focus on the most is something that Pierre brought up, a little piece of history, and it's not often that politicians will reach back into the past 7 years to bring up something that's very pertinent, and that was Bill C-75. This bill, more than any other bill, is responsible for the crime wave that we are experiencing right now here in Canada. As I've said before, enforcement, policing, that's not the problem. They're doing their job. It's the justice system itself, which is being guided by C-75. And rather than explain it again, I'm going to go back to April. I believe it was April of 2018 when I talked about this first. Before there was a PPC, before there was all the controversy, there was Bill C-75 and Frank Vaughn telling you about it. It's one of the most watched videos I ever put up on my channel. It's not on my channel now, but I'm going to attach it at the end of this video. It'll be something like the final 22 or 24 minutes. I recommend you watch it because it's very pertinent. It predicts the very stuff that happened over the subsequent 7 years, turning Canada into a crime-ridden hellhole. And I was so happy. I may have even applauded. I don't remember what my reaction was when it happened live. I may have actually applauded. I probably cheered, because bringing up the specific piece of legislation that brought us to this was a brilliant move by Polyev. Now, where I cut out and I went and read books to my kids and put them to bed was right around the time they started talking about foreign policy. I don't like Polyev's stance on Ukraine. I explained in the video how I understand why he's taking that stance. I don't like it. I don't like the approach to Trump, although I did note a softening of the tone in that regard last night. Also, an interesting thing that came out of the debate was put on the spot to name Canada's principal geopolitical adversary. I'm pretty sure the moderator was setting it up for Carney to say it was the United States. But instead, Carney spit out China. And I'm pretty sure he'll be in big trouble today when he wakes up and he has to face accountability for that. Because He works for China. He works for the World Economic Forum. He is the premier globalist running in this election. So I found that quite surprising. I also noted last night that the linkages between Mark Carney, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and I don't know if they're overt. I can't go as far as saying they're actually working together, but there are some pretty pertinent financial linkages. And I can't help but note that Donald Trump has indicated publicly that he would rather have a liberal government headed by Mark Carney to deal with in the post-election world. So there might be something there. Either way, when I'm being corralled by all of the mainstream forces and the people who are trying to undermine Canada at the table into one candidate, into one defined outcome, I'm always inclined to go in the other direction. There is absolutely a conspiracy to stop the Conservative Party of Canada from winning this election. And that's enough for me. So moving on, I'm going to deal directly with some of my haters and detractors today. I'm going to give them some time and go over it. And if you don't like this stuff, if you don't like it when I talk about the PPC, just skip ahead to the final 22 minutes and watch the C75 stuff, because it's the most important thing that's going to be in this video. But before you skip ahead, please just stick with me for this bit right here. The individuals that I'm going to address are going to call me a liar and a myth maker and that I don't know anything. But all of them are promoting this idea that the debate rules were changed to exclude the PPC, that the polling requirement that they poll at a steady 4% was changed specifically to target them. But I want to tell you something, and this is something that even AI is getting wrong, which is why you should never outsource your thinking to artificial intelligence. If you ask AI how many candidates are registered to the PPC in the upcoming election, it's going to spit out a number, 342, similar to the Liberals and the Conservatives. The problem is they don't have anything close to that. They didn't meet the 90% threshold that you have to run candidates in 90% of the ridings. They didn't even meet that basic requirement, so the polling change is entirely irrelevant. Now, people, as I've mentioned this before, have said it's a lie. The debate commission changed the rules, and that's why the PPC is excluded. But here I am on the official Elections Canada website to tell you the truth. They didn't even come close to the 90% threshold they're required to run. They got money and they got time for Max to be steady campaigning down in the United States, as though he's running for an election in a different country. People criticize Pierre because he's not going on American platforms. What country is Pierre running to lead? He fills airport hangars here, but the PPC can't fill small town bars. Pierre's running for prime minister here. He doesn't need to be on American podcasts. He is appearing on Canadian podcasts, but he doesn't get any credit for that. And I've been critical of Polyev. I am not a CPC card-carrying member. I didn't go running back to the PPC. They keep calling me a beaten wife, as if that's good optics, boys. You guys ain't winning anything with these insults, but I digress. Stick with me for a minute. This is the official Elections Canada website. I'm going to show you a trend. Remember, they're claiming they're running a full slate all across this country. This is Newfoundland, Labrador. Avalon, no PPC candidate. Cape Spear, no PPC candidate. Nothing in central Newfoundland. Nothing in Labrador. They got one in Long Range Mountains, but they got nothing in St. John's East. Nothing in Terra Nova and the peninsulas. Let's go to New Brunswick. They got one at the top. They got one here in Bouchetour. They've got one in Fredericton, so they're off to a good start here, but the luck runs out. They don't have one in Miramichi. They don't have one in Moncton Dieppe. They don't have one in St. John Kennebecasis. They don't have one in St. John St. Croix. But they got one in Tobique. But you can see there's a distinct shortage of candidates. There's no way. They've already failed to meet the 342, which is what they're promoting online. Let's go to Manitoba. Should be one of their strong suits is Manitoba. Brandon, they don't have one. They've got a couple here. And most of these, by the way, they're going to be paper candidates. They're not actual real serving candidates. They're just registrants' names on the ballot. So they're missing a couple in Manitoba. They're missing one down here at the bottom. Let's check out Saskatchewan, my own province. Battlefords, they don't have one. Carlton Trail, they don't have one. Dismuth, Mississippi, Churchill River, they don't have one. They've got one in Moose Jaw, but they don't have one in Prince Albert, which is the third largest city. They've got candidates, but the point is, they don't have anything close to the 342. So if you do the legwork and you go through this, what you're going to find out is they've got about 267 that they actually managed to register. So he's got all this time and money to go on these podcasts and fly around the United States as though he's campaigning down there, not knocking on doors up here. But with all their resources at headquarters, they didn't make time to actually register enough candidates in the first place. The only point you need to take away from this is the polling talking point that they're all engaged in, the debate commission screwing them over, is completely irrelevant because they didn't qualify on the point that they're claiming they qualified on. They're not running enough candidates. They didn't file the paperwork on time. So I'm not sure why there's this obsession with this idea that Canadian political candidates need to maximize their exposure in American media. Maybe it started with the Liberals because Freeland went down there, Ford went down there, and yes, Ford is a Liberal too, even though he's ostensibly painted blue. In the wake of the so-called trade war, they went on every single left-wing media they could to talk about how terrible Donald Trump was. Maybe Bernier just thought he needed to copy that. And so down there he went. And he's campaigning down there. He's not door knocking. He's not doing anything up here. Meanwhile, Poilievre, whether you like him or not, is flying coast to coast, campaigning hard, filling airport hangars with thousands of people. The PPC and Maxime Bernier can't even fill out a small bar. There's a reason for that. With all the exposure in American media, he can't do anything back here. They're not going to get a single seat. Again, because it doesn't matter in the context of a Canadian election whether you appear in American media. It's just such a silly talking point, just like these debate numbers. They didn't qualify. At any rate, this next section, this is the one you can skip. If you don't want to hear me address my detractors, go to the end. Please watch the video on C75 because it is very relevant today. It has historical value and context because it explains how we ended up here. It was predicted in 2018 as a result of C75. So happy Poilievre brought it up. This journey starts with Tony Vann. Some Israeli influencers pushing the Chinese narrative. He's got Sam Cooper in there. He's got me in there. He's got Marty up north in there. He's got Right Bend in there. He's got a whole bunch of us in there. And the fact of the matter is, like, I don't even know how to address this. I'm not Israeli. I'm not getting paid by Israel. I'm not getting paid by anybody. I'm literally a dude with a webcam, with the ability to communicate, at least at some level, who just cares about these things. So I sacrifice my time and I put it online. The only people who pay me are the ones who click the donate link. And it's not a great number of people who click that link. So this effort that I'm doing is going to go on past the election. You're going to see in some of the criticisms, they're going to say that I only pop up around elections. It's just not true. There was no election in 2018. I believe it was April when I made the C75 video. I've been around a long time. I've taken some breaks. I don't intend to go anywhere this time unless financial need takes me away. I'm going to have to keep my family. But for the time being, I've got a liquid pool of credit I can draw on so that I can finance myself, so that I can do this work. The whole point of reading Carney's book and putting in the time and reading the articles and actually doing the research, it takes time. It's a full-time job. I'm going to see if it works. Israel's not paying me. The Conservative Party's not paying me. The Liberal Party's not paying me. The PPC's not paying me. Nobody's paying me except the viewer. I don't have sponsorships. I don't have advertising. I'm not monetized. I'm not a YouTube partner. I don't know how to make it any more clear. But anyway, we're just going to give Alex Cargill a bit of his due right now. If you can't see, Frank is the most mind-rotted, biased source for accurate takes on the PPC Bernier. Nobody can help you. Alex, along with his friends, are some of the people who, just in the current form of misleading the public, are talking about how Bernier was screwed out of the debate by rule changes. No, the PPC screwed themselves. That's the truth. I just proved it. But we're going to go through the comments. Kay Free says, everything he said in the first minute or so that I could tolerate was a lie. I don't know about his supporters, but I'm tired of being lied to. Frank wants to live in a fairy tale, that's fine. But he shouldn't be dragging others down with him. I think what we should do is we should listen to the first minute and see if we can identify some lies.
I'm Frank Vaughn, and it's later in the day, April 16th, 2025, and you now have more insight than you've ever had as to why I talk about the PPC. It seemed very relevant. And remember that my dedication to this subject came before the great podcast tour of 2025, because I could see what was coming. There is a concerted effort in this country to stop the Conservative Party, whatever their shortcomings, and I have highlighted them on this channel because my memory and my perspective is complete. It's not selective. So I can see the CPC shortcomings, but I can also recognize that there is an overwhelming conspiracy to stop them from forming the next government. Bernier is part of that. Now, I don't know at what level he is part of it, but I can tell you this. This is a man with no political relevance here in Canada. This is the margin of error party. It's not a real party. It doesn't have a constitution. It doesn't have the trappings of a real party.
I'm not really sure what's a lie there. Some of it, you could say, is opinion. When I say that being part of the overwhelming conspiracy to defeat the CPC, it's not necessarily as an active participant. It's just being in alignment with that objective, which is the clear objective of the bureaucracy, the public sector unions, the Liberal Party, the media party, the PPC, which is only interested in defeating the Conservative Party. It's a revenge party. It doesn't have a constitution. It doesn't have member rights. It doesn't have the trappings of a typical political party. I'm not sure what the lie is there. When I say they're politically irrelevant, that's because they are. They're not even running enough candidates to qualify for the debate. They're within the margin of error. It's not the polls are fake. I got 2.1% of the vote in 2019 when I ran for them. People said to me, Frank, that must be fake. You're much better than that. It wasn't fake. I had complete faith in that outcome. I think if people voted for me as a person, I would have got a higher number, but I still don't think I would have won. The plan wasn't to win in 2019. It was to get a foot in the door and hopefully Max would win back his seat. But just like he's doing now, instead of focusing on door knocking and campaigning and actually winning his own riding, he went on a big, expensive national tour. And he paid the price for it. Actually, PPC members paid the price for it. With political irrelevance. With the 2021 bump in hand because of the lockdowns and everything else, they've squandered it since. The four by-election results show that they've lost share. And heading into this election, they're going to lose share again. I don't really see what the lie is, but I guess that's up to interpretation. There's some opinion there, but I don't think there's any lying there. Reluctantly Sensible says, oh my God, talk about leading with the chin. I gave him 10 seconds, and it's all about the rest of us reconciling with his massively exaggerated self-significance so we can all get out of the way and now getting serious with how it actually is. Frank's stink finger. What am I even supposed to do with this? Like, where's the hyper-inflated self-importance? I just make videos and put them online. It's the audience that gives them importance. It's not me. It's the viewer. It's the ones that share it. It's the ones that interact with it. It's the ones that donate. You're the ones giving it value every single day. If I was irrelevant after a 2.5 or 3 year break from making videos as I reorganized my entire life and enjoyed my young children for a little while, for the first time in my life, I actually had dedicated time to myself. It cost money, but the experience was far more valuable. After all that time away, how can you assess to what I'm doing narcissistic or egoistic intent? Do narcissists and egoists walk away from a ready-made audience? Not just once. I did the same thing in 2017. I walked away from the largest audience I ever had. Most of it was on Facebook. In the hundreds of thousands, I let it all go. Because by my nature, I'm an introvert. I'm introspective. I let it all go again in 2021 for various reasons. I had weird people showing up at my house. I had to move. It was a whole thing. I've explained it in other videos. Who walks away from an audience? What narcissist walks away from quote-unquote fame? I don't know how to prove it. I'm only back here because I care, because I got a future I got to worry about for my kids, And one of the biggest factors that made me return is the fact that I don't even want to be here. Okay, that's not entirely true. I felt guilty because I abandoned my audience. The fact is, when I returned, most of you were still here. That really hit me in the heart because you're real people. And I left you. Now, I had to, but I still felt that. The other thing is I'm not interested in fame. I'm not aiming for anything. I'm not promising anything. PPC is promising you something they can't deliver. I'm not doing that. There's no grift here. I'm not promising any deliverables. I'm just giving you everything up front. Whether it has value or not is up to you. I'm not really sure how this applies, and I don't really understand the monikers, Frank Stinkfinger, all these other things. What's funny is the PPC still think they're fooling any. Oh, that's not a negative comment. We just want negative. Here's an example. Yeah, he's always right with some emotes. Polyev says he's Team Canada. He stands with the people who broke Canada, made Canada a global crime capital, filled our streets with drugs, locked us down, sold us out, destroyed our military. These are some of those criticisms I've labeled or leveled at the CPC. When I made that tweet, it was February 15th. He did what I think was a mistake, which was completely aligning with Team Canada on the so-called trade war with the United States and labeling Trump as the bad guy. He's moderated his stance since. But I thought it was bad judgment, and I said so, because I'm not a partisan hack. Brad from Ontario says Frank would be over the moon if Libtard Light Pierre was on Tucker. He's just another CPC shill like Pleb, Cat, and Keen who sold out. No, I don't think I would care if Pierre was on American podcasts. I actually think, after a lot of reflection, it would be bad judgment. Especially considering how virulently anti-American Canadians are. The man's trying to win an election here. And you can hate the game, you can hate politics, but the fact is, if you're going to play the game, you have to win with the cards that are dealt to you. And Canada is a particular pile of cards. I actually think not going on American podcasts is wise. Mind you, he's gone on Jordan Peterson. He's gone on some large Canadian podcasts. I don't know what people are complaining about. It's to the point, I would either not care one way or another, or I'd be biased against it because I don't think it's necessary. From the perspective of a politician running for public office in Canada, I don't think there's any relevance in running down to the United States to appease Americans who clearly have their own axe to grind. Listen to Tucker Carlson, literally undermining the right. They don't want the conservatives to win either. They're part of this conspiracy. I don't think they're in it together. I just think there's a huge alignment. The most effective conspiracies actually have a component where people aren't even aware that they're part of it. Their already arrived at biases make them useful to the objective of the people who make use of them. They may not even be aware that they're part of it. So it's not an overarching, there's a one master manipulator controlling everybody. It's that there's an alignment to defeat them from a lot of different sources. The PPC's principal alignment comes from vengeance. That's pretty much all Max has designed, is a vengeance party. It wasn't supposed to be that way. That's why I helped him found it. That's why I was there at the beginning. It was supposed to be a people's party. But the day after the October election in 2019, it's like the word people disappeared. There was no talk of a constitution anymore. There's no talk of the people. It was all about Max. It was Max's party. He founded it in isolation. And since then, anybody that gains genuine notoriety within the PPC finds that Max is very jealous of the spotlight. He doesn't want to be outshone. That's why in 2021, when they ran a candidate in Manitoba who gathered 22% of popular support, when there was an opportunity in the by-election to win that riding, Max made the mistake of kicking that candidate out and stepping into that role and lost a quarter of the vote share because he's hubristic, he's narcissistic, and he's out for revenge. It's not me. The things that they ascribe to me, they should be ascribing to Maxime Bernier. Why won't people speak to me? Frank is so pathetic. I just have a story to tell. I don't understand why people aren't curious about it. I don't understand why people aren't curious about the reality of the PPC. There should be more people curious about that. There's no way these people are that stupid. He must be being paid by somebody. Donors. That's it. That's literally it. That's why I'm now voting PPC or USA. I'm not really sure how you're supposed to vote USA. And people say Max is the one that appears during election. LOL, Frank Vaughn, what a joke. You're going to see at the end of this video with the work on C-75. That's been around a long time. I've been around a long time. I don't just show up when there's elections. He's also another Timu Joe Exotic. I don't know what that means. He's a retard. Maybe. Maybe I am. I've never been really sure. Right, because you're not mind-rotted biased for Max. That's a positive comment. He can't get over the fact that the PPC party stayed true to Max after the first election and not to him. This is another myth that they tell, another lie. I never wanted to be leader of the PPC. There were those who tried to encourage me to seek it out. But on two levels, I said to them, number one, I don't want it. Number two, there's no mechanism even if I did. Which was just the point. Without a constitution, without a succession plan, without a mechanism, Max is the dictator. That's why I call him the dictator of the purple piggy bank. Because the control rests with him and his right hand, Martin Mas. Arguably the man who crafts all his tweets. I don't know that for sure. But it used to be that way. Thanks for reminding me why I stopped watching him. Great. Don't watch me. I really don't care. Whether I sink or swim doing this, I'm not motivated to tell you a story that's going to make you watch. I'm just telling you what I think and putting it in video format. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm not catering to anybody. One minute I'm somebody's hero. The next minute I'm their enemy and they curse me. It's fine. The governing documents that don't exist. Okay, this is highlighting the fact that if you go to the website, you click on the governing documents link, I'm assuming there's nothing there. The governing documents descend from on high. There's never been a policy convention. There's never been a founding convention. These are important things in politics. PPC members have never voted on anything to do with their party, and there's no mechanism for them to do so. The annual conference that they do could arguably be an extension of the corporate requirement to have an annual general meeting. You can call it whatever you want. I don't know. Thanks for reposting the truth, Syl. So this is a reference I'm imagining to Syl Carl, who I like Syl. I think he's a good guy. I just don't appreciate the fact that in the light of I have a track record of getting it right when it comes to the PPC. I've been predicting their outcomes since I left. And Syl's just one of those guys who I had a personal rapport with, and he puts honesty on the back burner and dogged loyalty to Maxime Bernier and the PPC, and it's in defiance of fact, and so it's a problem. I was worried when you decided to run for the grifter again, but hoped you could write the party. Best of luck. Maxime is definitely a grifter. Back in April 2019, when I joined the PPC, I came across one of his videos entitled "I Was Wrong About the PPC." He became our candidate. Met him and put his sign on our lawn. October 2019, some things happened. Was told if they known more, he'd have never been accepted as a candidate. And when I first read this, I'm just like, well, this is interesting. So I clicked on it. And I met him at the All Candidates Conference in Quebec. He is full of himself. He thinks he is far more important than he really was. Maybe this is because I gave the opening speech at the conference at the request of Bernier. Maybe it's because I sat at Bernier's table. Maybe it's because I led a social media discussion. I think some people are just envious. I never asked for any of those things. I never demanded any of those things. That's just the position I occupied at the time. I did a lot of things with the PPC. I was involved in some of their biggest stuff in 2019. And I left in the spring of 2020, because it just was clear to me that Max wasn't going to deliver on his word, the things that he promised us all. That's why the first crop in 2019, which was the best crop, they all ended up leaving. Most left quietly. Some made more noise. I was one of the noisy ones. Richard Blingdon says, I'll finish with Wobbly Hedgehog. Just mad that the party did not go the way that he wanted it to. You're right. I wanted a party of the people. I signed up for doing politics better. For doing for correcting the mistakes that the CPC was making and presenting a real alternative to Canadians. Instead, it became a dictatorship. That is not what was promised. If you go and watch my debate footage, which I have re-uploaded on my channel from about 4 weeks ago, you're going to see in every statement I made, I talked about policy, I talked about a party for the people. I don't think I mentioned Maxime once, and that's not because I'm egotistical. I barely mentioned myself. I talked about ideas because I know why I was there. And so I campaigned in alignment with the platform. But I said repeatedly, it's not a party of one. It's supposed to be a party of the people. Richard Blingdon says, that's the impression I get, especially since I was told the police were consulted, and had they known more, he wouldn't have been accepted as a candidate. Diana C. says, I'd love to hear more about that. On what? On what they found about him, of course. Richard says, no idea. So this is an unsubstantiated rumor about police involvement. Now, the PPC vetted me and passed me, but they've vetted some questionable people before. All I can say is I don't have a criminal record. I've never been criminally charged. I've never had a court date. I have no idea what this is about. When I was 19 or 20 years old, I was involved in a bar fight, and the police commandeered a taxi and sent me out of town and told me I couldn't come back that night. That's the closest that's ever came. It was a consensual bar fight. It was a bit of a gong show. The military was there, too. I can't remember why the military was there. There was, like, military police and cops, and it was a gong show. But I didn't get charged out of that. I mean, that's 25 years ago. That's the best I can come up with when it comes to police interdictions, other than traffic tickets. I've had a few of those. Most of them I beat in court. A couple I paid because they were more than fair. So I'm not really sure what this is all about. Again, unsubstantiated rumors. Frank the Poly Conservative, or is he a carny liberal now, may be working for the globalists. He's definitely not PPC. You got that right. I am not PPC, but I am not a carny liberal, and I'm not working for the globalists. It's so funny hearing all these aspersions and conspiracies about me when I am sitting here in my office with my family, living my life, knowing that there's nothing driving me except a desire to create content and talk about things. Like, I know that. So it's always interesting to me to see all these conspiracies. I'm Israeli. I'm being paid by the globalists. None of it's true. I'm just doing me. It's fascinating. Fun fact. Frank is one of the CPC Israelis here pushing the China interference story. And while it's a valid one, it's the mouse, another group being the elephant. Of course, this is a man who's obsessed with the Jews. The Jews! He sees a Jew under every rock. These people come out of the woodwork every single time I do anything. Chip on shoulder must weigh 1,000 pounds. You know, it's not a chip. It's a sense of obligation. This is what people don't understand. And I know there's a lot of viewers on my channel who hate it when I talk about the PPC. It's not going to last forever. We're in an election campaign right now. I feel obliged to talk about it because it has some relevance. But what's more important to me is the weight of the personal responsibility, which is one of the PPC's qualifying planks. I helped create this, and there's no getting out of that. 2018, 2019, I was there. I helped create it. I unleashed this beast on Canada alongside many others. And while I don't judge anybody for having this common sense to just walk away and be quiet, I can't do that. I feel a responsibility to talk about it. And so I do. And it's never good for me. PPC videos don't get a lot of views. They don't get a lot of shares. And oftentimes in the comments, people signal their displeasure that I'm even talking about it again. But it's what I have to do because I don't work for anybody except me. And I feel an obligation. So yeah, it does weigh on me. You got that right. He's gone total crackers. Maybe I am crazy. Who knows? I've never been sure if I'm either smart or crazy or retarded, as one person said in the comments here. I'm not entirely sure. So what can I say about that? Frank is still bitter from 2019. He thought he was more important and had more influence than he really did. 2019, none of the candidates got any help from HQ. It was a gong show. He is mad. He was not given a more prestigious role in the party, and it went more to his liking. It's a bit of a cluster mug of words. I was a bit miffed that HQ did not assist the EDAs in establishing themselves and resisted common sense movements to produce audiovisual products that would advise EDAs on how to use things like Nation Builder and actually build up their ground game. They didn't do any of that, and they also didn't distribute any funds. I didn't really care on a personal level because I was running on a shoestring, and I didn't think it was worth investing a ton of money anyway because the 2019 election was the first. It was about Max getting his seat back. Everything else was a bonus at that point, but we didn't get the seat back. And it began the process of just pooling the capital and denying a constitution and making the PPC the dictatorship it is today. The CPC grifters are as cult-like as the leftists they say they oppose. The sovereign-minded Canadian. You could be describing PPC cultists, which is what it is. It's a cult. It's a personality cult. He has outed himself as obsessed and vindictive. We'll not address him to give him any sense of validity. It's an interesting thing how people who claim I don't have any validity, look at this thread. Like, look at this, Frank, bitter little bitch. He's such a libtard. Why would he go on a Canadian podcast when the majority of citizens don't listen to them? Because he's running for office in Canada. Agreed, so effing true, cheers, jealous. Like, look at this. It just, it goes on and on. Now, Boo, I'm going to finish with this. Ah, poor trans. Have you watched the interviews with other former members? Wake up. We're going to click on this because she keeps going. Someone told me you're one of the trans many multiple accounts. Is this true? Some people say that Alex Cargill is behind a lot of these anonymous accounts. One of the things that you're going to notice with PPC bros is the vast majority of them on X are completely anonymous. They're doing nothing. They're not advancing any cause in their name. They're just making a bunch of noise online. They don't door knock. They don't build a party. They don't even register their candidates with Elections Canada. And by the way, these two interviews, it's not just mine. This interview with this guy was very insightful about how the PPC runs. And the interview I did with Kelly Lawrence, it's also insightful. And it's very respectful and considerate of the people who genuinely care about the PPC. And that's another reason why I do what I do. Because there's desperate people out there looking for hope. And the PPC thrives on them. There are people, in spite of this idea that Bernier is not a publicly recognized name, that he needs more name recognition. Even though he's been in national debates before, hasn't affected his prospects. He's on American podcasts with millions of people to watch. Doesn't affect his electoral prospects. Everybody knows who he is. But there are still good people in the PPC, and there's good people who may join the PPC that don't know the full story. And that's why I'm driven to tell it. Because it may not matter to you, but it matters to me. What I wanted out of the PPC was a party for the people. And there are people who believe that that's what it is. And it's just not. Factually, I put paid to it in my videos. And with that being said, let's get on with the more important stuff, which is a review of the 2018 video on C-75 and how it destroyed this nation's criminal justice system. I'm just going to wait for the first viewer to actually get in here. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm going to wait and see if you can hear me. This is a pretty big message. This is a pretty big, in my opinion, this is an emergency. We've got a serious problem here with a liberal bill called C-75, which is an act to amend the criminal code. And what they're saying is they're trying to modernize it. That's the excuse they're offering. So I'm just going to jump right to it. C-75 is an assault on justice. It's not an attempt to create a better and fairer justice system. In the shadow of C-71, which is going to further penalize legal gun owners, C-75 is going to decrease the penalties on people who commit terrorism. It's going to decrease the penalties on people who act and engage in the act of promoting terrorism. It's going to reduce the penalties on infanticide, on child marriage,
on gang violence, on smuggling guns. This stuff is insane, and we're just going to jump straight in here. The link to this bill, which I recommend everybody read, is in the description for this video. And this video is going to go on YouTube. It's going to go on Twitter. It's going to go everywhere. I don't even care how much the bandwidth cost me, because this is a fundamental assault on our democracy. So let's just get right into it. Just give me one second here to call everything up and get rid of the duplication. There we go. So this is Bill C-75. And what does it do? Right now, if we actually go to Ralph Goodale, this is our Minister of Justice. This is the Ministry of Justice's website. And actually, before I go any further, I'm just going to make sure you guys can actually hear me. Can you hear me? If somebody can give me an indication as to whether or not they hear me, that would be fantastic.
Justice.
I just
this
need
is the
to
Ministry
know
of
if
Justice's
you hear me. Okay.
Website.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Actually, before I go any further, I'm just going to make sure you guys
can you hear
actually
me? Give me a comment if you can hear me, okay? I need to know if you can hear me and hear me okay. That's what's the holdup right now. I need to know if I'm audible. Can you guys hear me? I just messaged. Hopefully you guys can hear me. You can hear me. Okay, thank you, Sheila. So we're just going to jump right into it. So this is Ralph Goodale. This is our Minister of Justice website right now. And they've got, as their caption, Canada tables legislation to modernize the criminal justice system and reduce court delays. So they're billing this as an efficiency bill. Now, I want you guys to remember that all through the last week and the week before, the government was virtue signaling about how C-71 was going to keep Canadians safer by further regulating legal gun owners somehow, by making people who've never broken the law jump through more hoops. That's going to make Canada a safer place. And in the wake of that bullshit, they've come out with C-75. And what's C-75 going to do? They dropped this thing last Thursday before they all go back to their ridings for 2 weeks for their Easter break. And they dropped this thing, I guess, hoping we weren't going to notice, hoping nobody was going to pick up on it. And thank you to Tracy Wilson for pointing this out to me. She was enraged. She did a little live stream, and then we got on the phone and we talked, and she pointed this out to me, and I started looking at it and started researching it. And yeah, so offenses in relation to sexual offenses against children, the Liberals are actually going to reduce the sentencing requirements for people who commit sex acts against children. They're going to reduce the penalty requirements for childhood marriage and forced marriage. They're going to reduce the penalties for people who forge passports. They're going to reduce penalties for people who smuggle firearms across the border. At the same time as they're claiming they're getting tougher on crime and they want to get tougher on crime by regulating legal gun owners, they're actually reducing penalties for people who commit crime. Violent crime. They're reducing penalties for people who commit acts of terrorism or engage in conspiracy to commit terror. They're going to reduce the penalties for people who harbor terrorists. Now tell me where this is coming from. Is this an influence on our government coming from extremist sources? We know that the government's under the influence of extremism, and now it seems to be getting enshrined in the law. This, I haven't had time to detail this bill, but like concealing a person who is likely to carry out a terrorist activity could be punishable just by a summary conviction, which means it'll be in the hands of the Crown and the judges, who have a tendency to be lenient because we now reward terrorists. Remember, we got to sort of follow the dots here. Canada rewards terrorists who are returning. They think that legal rural gun owners are a threat, but they bring ISIS back and they want to read them poetry to reform them, and somehow they're going to become productive members of society. That's actual liberal policy. Well, now they're going to enshrine that liberal policy in the law by basically giving judges and the Crown the ability to reduce sentences on people who are or conspiring to commit terrorism, or who are committing sex crimes against your children, or on people who are smuggling guns across the border. Like I've barely dug into this law. I mean, they're reducing sentences on police who engage in corruption. They are, I mean, it's point by point by point. When you read this, I mean, I had to go live because, and the link is in the description. I encourage anybody to read this because we only have a week to increase public awareness. The Liberals are going to try and jam this thing through, and they're going to lie through their teeth to you again, just like they did on C-71. With C-71, they said, oh, we're doing this to make Canada safer. But it pours money into a new registry. And the word gang, and illegal gun violence, the word gang, organized crime, doesn't appear in C-71 anywhere. Just registrar, just licensing. It has nothing to do at all with fighting gang violence. And then on the heels of that, they introduced C-75, which is actually going to reduce sentencing on people who are committing gang violence, violent crime. If you reduce, or if you recruit a minor into a gang under this bill, the sentencing is going to be reduced. This is your liberal government. And there's idiots who come on my website who try to make it this liberal-conservative dichotomy, whatever. This would have never happened under Harper. For all the criticisms I had of Stephen Harper, he wouldn't have sat there and looked you in the eyes and said, I'm getting tough on crime, while reducing sentences for terrorism, while reducing sentences for pedophiles and sex criminals, while reducing sentencing for people who force children into marriage, while reducing sentences for people who recruit minors into gangs. And that's exactly what C-75 does. And these people have the gonads to sit there and say that it's legislation to modernize the criminal justice system and reduce court delays. It's going to reduce court delays by turning criminals loose in our streets. That's how these guys are doing it. That's what the bill says. I'm not making this up. This isn't partisan rhetoric. This isn't me trying to score cheap political points. This is what the government is proposing to do through C-75. And I'm sitting here, along with other concerned people who read this stuff, because for whatever stupid reason, we care about the country and we actually care about the direction it's going. We actually care to be informed. So instead of spending our spare time drinking all weekend or watching, I actually watch sports, I like hockey, but instead of spending our time, our free time, doing the things we want, what we want to do is learn about what the government is trying to jam down our throats. And all of a sudden we find C-75, it's on the doorstep. It's already gone through the first reading. The liberals are going to cram this thing through, and what it actually does is weaken criminal justice. It actually makes it easier for the judges and the crown attorneys to turn criminals loose in our streets. For things like hiding a dead body, it's now going to be a summary conviction. It's like hiding a dead body, people. There's things in here about fornication, about like sex crimes. They're going to reduce the sentencing. It's unbelievable, and I'm going to do a podcast where I'm going to actually I'm going to detail what's happening. I want people to read this. This is unbelievable. They bill this as criminal justice. They bill this as making an efficient system. They say they're a tough on crime government. They say that C-71 was about making our streets safer, about targeting gang violence, and C-71 doesn't mention gangs at all. And then these hypocritical, lying, devious, evil, I mean it's evil, people introduce C-75, and C-75 does nothing but reduce penalties on people who are committing the exact kinds of crime that the liberals are trying to tell you they're against. I need you people to share this video, and I also need you to get just as enraged as I am, because we are at a critical point here, okay? They've been lying to us. They've been devious to us. It's in our face, and there's no excuse anymore, because we can go online and we can find the text of the bills they're trying to ram through. They say they're tough on crime. They say they don't like child trafficking. They say they're against child abuse, and yet they legalize bestiality. They legalize anal sex for our children. They pass laws that literally weaken our legal systems. Sorry, I got hair in my face. Our legal system's ability to prosecute people who are committing sex crimes against children. They weaken our legal system's ability to prosecute terrorists. They're doing it. It's right here. The text is right in front of your face. So when Ralph Goodale stands up there in front of a camera, when Justin Trudeau stands up there in front of a camera and says they're tough on crime and they actually care about this stuff, the proof is right here. It's like, it's right here. And there's 30-odd% of the country who actually thinks the liberal government is good. They actually support this shit. And I'm sorry for swearing, but this is infuriating. And when I hesitate, it's because I'm trying not to swear. Because God's know I want to. God's know this makes me so angry, all I want to do is cuss at it and yell at it. And I'm trying to be respectful here. I'm trying to be responsible. They lie. They talk out of one side of their mouth, and the truth spills out of their fingers in the forms of bills that they write, which actually contradict everything they say they stand for. Where is this coming from? Who voted for a government that would weaken penalties against people who commit sex crimes against kids? Who voted for a government that would weaken penalties against people who conspire to commit terrorism? Who voted for a government that would get softer on terrorism? Who voted for a government that would make police corruption? Because that's in here too. Police corruption will now be a summary offense. This stuff is insane. And I'm going to detail it in the podcast. But right now, people just need to be informed. And they need to be angry. And they need to read your civic duty, okay? This thing that I was talking about last night, and I talked about in other podcasts. Your civic duty is to know this stuff. And to get and be opposed to this stuff. And to call it out. Because really, it doesn't prosper if we're informed. The people who actually think this liberal government is doing good things, they're sentencing our country to decline. Not just in terms of financial and economic power. The debt that we're piling on. The deficit that we're piling on. The zero value that we're getting for our dollars. The burden of regulation that we're putting on the lawful. Not just regulation, but taxation. And then in the back door comes C-75, and they're going to reduce the penalties for serious crimes. We're not talking about little stuff. We're not talking about Joe Blow gets caught smoking a joint at the corner store, and he happens to be close to a school. And we're not talking about getting rid of those Harper-era mandatory minimum sentencing that didn't make much sense from a criminal justice perspective, because what is Joe Blow doing in jail costing the taxpayer money for smoking a joint at a corner store? They're not getting rid of that stuff, folks. All those mandatory minimums are still there. And under their legalization plan, it's going to get even bigger. But at the same time, they're going to reduce penalties for violent criminals. They're going to reduce penalties for people who assault children and force them into marriage. They're going to make them summary convictions. And if you don't know what a summary conviction is, that means it's in the hands of the judge or the crown to prosecute. And we have this creeping tendency in Canada, okay, through the Omar Khadr settlements and through these terrorist settlements and through that, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but that guy who Justin Trudeau posed with his kids and family, and he turned out to be this horrible murderer. And there's Trudeau with a stupid friggin' grin on his face, smiling and posing with this guy in his virtue signaling way. They're doing this. They're giving them money. They're rewarding them. They're bringing ISIS back into our country and saying, oh, we're going to reform them. We're going to make it all magical. We're going to read them poetry and it's going to get all better. And at the same time, they're reducing penalties on these people. Folks, they don't care about you. They don't care about justice. They're literally trying to win the next election on virtue signaling alone, through empty rhetoric, through saying things, preying on your ignorance. And that's what it is. It's a total dependence on your ignorance. They take it for granted. They think you're stupid. In fact, they in their minds, they know you're stupid so that they can just say whatever they want to say. And then they can pass legislation which does the exact opposite thing. And they're like, people will never notice. People don't read. People. I can't believe we're living in these times. It's the freaking Twilight Zone, okay? Like, I've never seen it like this. I've never seen, like, you look at Ontario and you look at Kathleen Wynne and you look at the legacy of Ben Levin, this pedophile sick prick who oversaw, people who deny that Ben Levin oversaw the crafting of the sex education system, they're out of their friggin' minds, because he himself wrote emails that we have public knowledge just like this laid out before you, where he says he was responsible for the direction of how that policy was developed. And there's people out there, there's an abundance of information of the critics of that bill who were never given a fair hearing. They weren't listened to. They were not heard. And I mean, it's out there. And people still come on and they say, oh, it was widely consulted. There was many people involved. It's bullshit. It's liberal lies. They lie. And I'm not saying it's just limited to the Liberal Party. There are many so-called conservatives out there who will lie in the same way. Look at Patrick Brown. He's doing it right now. He's praising Kathleen Wynne's latest budget, saying it represents fairly the people's guarantee. What a horrible turncoat traitor, son of a gun. Patrick Brown is. Curse him. I'm glad he can't run. He doesn't belong in the PC party in Ontario. He doesn't belong in honest politics. This stuff should infuriate you. C-75 is a horrible bill. It weakens criminal justice. It's right there. It's in the link. They're weakening the laws. And then they're telling us they're actually trying to strengthen it. They're telling us they're going to be tough on crime as they weaken it. I need you people to share this video. This is the preamble. This is the preliminary. This is the outrage. The detail comes later. The detail will come from many sources, because once we get the word out about this, I hope people read. I hope they start to understand what Ralph Goodale and this liberal, virtue-signaling, empty-headed government is going to try to do to us again. And we only have a week and a bit to raise public awareness. That's all we get, because they slipped this in right before they go on recess, hoping none of us would catch it. And gods, we caught it. We caught it, and we can actually have a chance to raise awareness. If you stand for things like you don't believe your children should be, this is in the bill, orgies in front of your kids. They want to lessen the penalty for having orgies in front of your children. Where's that come from? Where does lessening the penalties for forced marriage for children come from? Where's that coming from, folks? You know the answer. I'm not allowed to say it. You're not allowed to say it, because they've banned truth. They've basically made it so we have to imply what we know, because we're not allowed to say it out loud anymore, because the Facebook gods will ban us. They'll deny us our audiences. They'll get rid of us. They'll censor us out of existence. Share this. I'm going to download it. I'm going to upload it to YouTube. I'm going to put it on Twitter. It's going to go everywhere. Here's my face. This is, I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but this is what people need to do. It's not just me. This is my face. You can find me. We have to be out there. This stuff is going unchallenged and unnoticed. There's a liberal base that has no idea this is going on. And this is why I said in the last video, we got to stop censoring liberals off our websites or off our Facebook pages. We have to go to them directly and engage. We have to face them. We have to talk to them, because their ignorance is what the Liberal Party preys upon. And I don't believe that if you have a conversation with a person, they're going to support this bullshit. Because it's, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I'm sorry for swearing, because it's not productive. And I can't edit it in real time like I would. I would bleep it out, or I would edit it. And I'm sorry for that. This stuff is so infuriating, if you haven't told already. So I'm gonna sign off here. I need you guys to share this. Share this video. Share the title. Write your own text. I don't care how you do it. But this bill, this C-75, this assault on justice, this weakening of our system by a government that would claim to be tough on crime, that says they care about gang violence, well, at the same time, they're going to pass laws that weaken our criminal justice system in the name of making it efficient, which efficient means we're going to turn these suckers loose. We're going to put them back into society. I need you to share this. This is the beginning. I'll do a podcast. I'll detail it a little more. I'll collect myself. I'll have another coffee. I guess I don't really need coffee. Maybe I should drink some more of Irina's wine. This is crazy stuff. This is an example of the truth being stranger than fiction, folks. And it is the truth. C-75 is right there. There's no excuse anymore for anybody to believe a single thing that comes out of this government. They literally say the opposite of what their intention is. And if they don't like, if somebody actually gains some attention, like Max Bernier was catching crap from a liberal MP because he justifiably criticized her and she just called him a misogynist, bigot, whatever. That's what they do. They call you names like grade schoolers, and they think that somehow that scores them intellectual points. And in a sense, it does, because the ignorant that comprises their base, and I say ignorance not as an insult. I mean the word ignorance. It means you're ignorant. It means you're lacking knowledge of reality. You don't actually know what's going on. That's to be ignorant. It's not a bad word. It's not to say that people aren't capable of overcoming that ignorance, because they are. But that's what our job is. We can't just sit in our echo chambers hoping that change is going to happen. We have to do it one-on-one. We have to fight them ship to ship, as they say in Star Wars. We've got to do this. We have to do the work in the trenches where this stuff becomes law. And they get the votes. They get votes because people don't know. They're not aware of how terrible these things are. So again, I don't know how long this has been. I need you guys to share this. And I'll give you some more details as we go. I'll do a podcast nice tonight. I don't know if I'll get it released on time for people to use it tonight, but it'll be there for you first thing in the morning. We'll detail this a little more. Read the bill. Share that link. Share the bill's link. Point out the absurdity between the public position of the Justice Department and the Prime Minister and the actual friggin' law they're going to pass. I appreciate it. If you've watched this, share it. That's all I got to say. Send me a friend request on Facebook, Frank Vaughn, if you want, because I'm trying to build up that personal profile. And I only say that, I only plug V-A-U-G-H-A-N, look me up, it'll be an angry version of my face. Add me as a friend, because that's going to help me get these things out, because they're not giving me the reach. And if you do that, we got a really solid chance of educating people and doing something about this. This isn't about just slapping each other on the back. We got to point this out, and we got to change minds. Or we'll never change anything.
And I'll admit, I didn't watch that all the way back. I watched enough to see my hair moving. And it just reminded me how I have fun being self-effacing. People make fun of the hair all the time. That's one of the reasons I have. It's the same with the upturned collar. This isn't a stylistic choice. They do their jobs. Like the hair. I grew long hair because it keeps bugs off my back when I'm working in the field for 12 hours a day. And I may not be working 12 hours a day anymore, but my wife likes the long hair, so I'm probably going to keep it for a while. I may cut it off again one day, but not anytime soon. But as people made fun of it, I added a fan so that it was blowing in the wind just to trigger them even more. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope it was useful. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.